Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, June 16th, 744 Central Time. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss. Good morning, Dr. Weiss. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Well, thank you.
We're now, my wife and I are down here north of Atlanta and getting ready to head up to Nashville, Tennessee to visit our third oldest daughter, Kimberly, and she has some surgery on Wednesday, so things should be pretty good for her, as far as we understand it. So we're going to go up there and take care of her, and then I've got to get ready for class next week, teaching a class on genetic science and Christian perspective. So that's kind of how God's working today.
Wow. Well, happy Father's Day to you, a little late.
Well, that's okay. Thank you very much, and same to you, too. I understand your wife was going to have a baby soon, wasn't she?
Well, that was, actually, it was about 9 months ago. We had...
Oh, 9 months. Okay.
We just have one little boy. Yep, we have Oscar. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Okay, I'll tell you what I have here. This is, I guess, some of your listeners that see me now and then, actually down here in Florida, they listen, down in Orlando where we were at Christ King Lutheran Church down there for a couple Sundays, and... what I have here is we're going back to things we've talked about before, and that is the whole issue, the basics of God instituted marriage between a man and a woman. And in the last 2 weeks, USA Today has had three articles out on the gay marriage issue, one in Texas, which they're still trying to work on, which they say is an uphill climb, but it's coming there. We already have it in 18 states, including the District of Columbia. And then there was a poll how gay marriage, that is by the Gallup poll and a few other ones, has, in terms of the public opinion, has gone in approval, gone from 42% up to 55% in just the last 4.5 years. So it is becoming, obviously, as we all are well aware, something that we have to be aware of and then know how to deal with these issues from a biblical viewpoint. So that's the first point. The second point is, once again, as you know me, I like to read some of the gatekeepers of society, the Times and Newsweek and so forth. And the June 9th edition, and those of your listeners who get it will know this, the lead title and a big picture on the front page of a man who became a woman is the transgender tipping point. And what this is all about is that this now, and I'll quote this here, is that transgender people whose identity with gender other than that of sex they're assigned at birth, this is the next challenge of our cultural society. And, of course, they don't get into anything biblical. And I realize for some of your listeners, I don't know, I'm kind of sort of drawn a conclusion here subjectively, but they may say, oh, here we go again, more of this stuff on homosexuality, transgender, and so forth. And I think it's important, though, that we understand that this is going to become a larger and larger issue within the church and also within our Christian day schools, because in California, there was a young lady named Kimberly who believed she was a man and a boy, and so she's been given the right to use men's restrooms even though she is a girl but dresses as a boy. That's called transgender, okay? Doesn't mean that they've had a surgical switch, a transitional change. That's called transsexual. So the terminologies get very confusing here. But transgender simply means a boy who believes he's a girl and dresses as a girl, and a girl who believes he's a boy and dresses as a boy, and they may even take hormone shots and so forth to accentuate these issues. But transsexual, of course, these are the people who have gone under surgical intervention to actually change everything. And then, and I know this is terminology, but it's important to understand terminology. Then you have the term transvestite, which, of course, means cross-dressing across the vest. And Deuteronomy 22:5 specifically calls that an abomination. So these issues are addressed in the scriptures from the basics of marriage. And I think next week I want to address with your listeners a new book that just came out, and And again, USA Today had this, and it's written by a fellow I read before, Matthew Vines, and his book is saying that he believes the Bible should be reinterpreted regarding marriage because there's new data, and I'll explain that maybe next week, and because this is all very, very important in terms of remaining steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, because more and more people are, as they say, stepping out, sharing this. Families are having struggles over their children who are either admitting that they're transsexual, that is, they have a girl, say, named Jane, and she says, you know, I'm really a boy, and she dresses as a boy. And so how do we deal with all of this as Christians, because it is becoming more and more prevalent in our society, when society says these are all cultural things and have nothing to do with theology, because the Bible really doesn't, since the Bible doesn't talk about transgender issues, therefore God must say it's okay, because, you know, he made me this way. He made a mistake, and that's what this article in Time Magazine says, Fixing Nature's Mistake. So I think that this, again, calls us back to the basics, back to the basics of marriage, back to the basics of one union flesh, husband and wife, back to the basics of catechesis, things that we've talked about before, Andy. And these are issues that I think people, when they read these in the magazines, should not close the magazines in disgust and say, oh, this is just yucky. I can't deal with this, but we have to deal with this, and we have to deal with it from a biblical viewpoint and be good listeners of those people who are struggling with this, not approving it, not agreeing with it, but working on, I would say, disconnecting them from their current physical way of looking at themselves into the way God has created them as a creature, and then hopefully from the standpoint of baptism as a child of God. I'm not saying these things are easy, and I'm not saying a lot of these people change from the standpoint of their gender or sexual identity, but they do, and I've talked with a couple, they do disconnect themselves and no longer say, well, you can't be gay and you can't be Christian. You cannot serve two masters. So the thing is to move them from their current view of their identity in terms of their gender and sexuality into an identity in Christ. So that's kind of how I want to lay this out. As confusing as this might seem, it is something that is in front of us, and we need to be aware of it.
You bring up a point that we don't hear in conversations about this, and that is where our identity is found. Quite often, it's about the conversations we hear in the rest of media, in the news, and in other places, in TV and film. The conversation is about it, me and what I want, but we always forget about the conversation never includes where our identity truly is found, and that is in Christ.
Yes, I mean, this goes back to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, you know, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith, even as it gathers, and so forth and so on. We all understand that. That, you know, a child of God is one who is baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, and that is our identity. It is in Christ. And that's the point, in the resurrected Jesus Christ. And that, I think, is a good starting point for a lot of these people, because they really do believe this is their identity. And it's much like what I've talked with alcoholics. You know, there's nothing wrong, and from the standpoint of an alcoholic who says, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I go to church, I'm in Christ, and so forth. And the same thing would be for persons that I have worked with that are gay. Their identity is no longer I'm gay. Their identity is I'm in Christ, and I was that, but I'm not that anymore. I'm in Christ. It is always an ongoing struggle, like sin is always an ongoing struggle. You know, we have Romans 7 and the struggle of the spirit and flesh that Paul talks about. And then we have Romans 8, how the Lord brings us from that struggle into Christ by grace through faith. So I think your point is really where a lot of people need to go. And I'll be quite frank, some of the people I've talked with, they will say to me, well, you know, you're not you're a non-affirming Christian. You don't affirm what the Bible really says. And so they start to cherry pick the scriptures and say, well, it doesn't talk about this, therefore it's okay. And we understand, and within the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and our hermeneutics, that there are some questions we can't answer. There are many open questions, but Christ is always the answer to the unanswerable questions we have. And so we just don't, as we say, throw the baby out with the bathwater and start pulling biblical texts out like a Jeffersonian Bible does when we find that it doesn't agree with us, you know, and with the scriptures. So I really think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head again, is that we have to go back to the basics, and we always want to, this is one good thing about your program, is it constantly brings up the basics. And having coached women's basketball at the almost as professional, semi-professional area years ago over at Webster University, we always went back to the basics, and these were women who were college professionals and then turned professional later in their life. But we still had to go back to dribbling and shooting and layups, and this is where Christians are. So I would encourage all of those who are listening to continue to read the scriptures. And when they don't understand something, that's okay. Talk to your pastor. Talk to other people. You know, search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and those are those that testify to Christ. So that's why we keep reading the Bible. I mean, there are things I still kind of wonder, I wonder what this is here. So I talk to people that are smarter than me, you know, and commentaries and other pastors and lay people, and have good conversations about God's word. And that's how we grow in his grace and in his knowledge. And so therefore we all need to be at the sacrament of the altar and receive his body and blood for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of sins. And there you have the culmination of our identity in Christ.
I'm glad that you pointed out that we need to continue to have conversations, that when it comes to these matters, when it comes to whatever comes up in society and culture that appears to be controversial, that it's not that we don't want to have conversations. We want to have conversations and always go back to God's word, always find our identity in Christ. And it's not about hate. Quite often, when we talk about God's word and finding our identity in Christ, quite often people accuse us of hate. But it's not about hate. It's really about love and loving our neighbor, so that they too can find their identity in Christ.
Well, precisely, and it's a good way to end, because many people that are struggling over their gender or sexual identity, they say, "Well, you Lutherans never listen to us," but we do listen. And we want to jump into their swimming pool and swim around with them, but ultimately we're out of the pool into God's word, and here's what he has to say. And we say, well, we have a lot of time to do this. Well, God doesn't wear a Rolex, and so I don't think we should say, well, we have a lot of time. We, too, have to be dressed and ready. And so sometimes, as one of my gay friends says, who's no longer gay, says, you know, Bob, sometimes you have to get in their face and just have to tell them, like Jesus said to the Pharisees with his seven woes and many other times, for the salvation of their souls. And many people just look at us and say, there you go again, you're judging me. We don't judge people into heaven or hell. That's the God's responsibility, and that's what he will do. So we keep getting back to the word, man. What their identity is all about.
Amen. Well, thanks, Dr. Weiss. Always good to talk with you. We'll catch up next week.
You bet. Thanks.
God's blessing. Safe travels.
To you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to study the Daily Lectionary with the Reverend Luther Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Ellisville, Kansas. I hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO. The Messenger of Good News.